Hello, Spirit Family. Thank you for tuning in to Intuitively Her podcast, where we discuss spiritual wellness, personal development, and so much more. Hello, Soul Family. Welcome back to Intuitively Her podcast. Today we have a special guest. Her name is Giselle Genesee. She's a transformative guide, a Reiki master, a ceremony leader, and community catalyst, and so much more. Hi, Giselle. How are you? Welcome to Intuitively Her podcast.
Thank you. So honored to be here with you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Today is a good day.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm glad that we're finally here creating and recording this podcast together, and I've been wanting to do this for a bit. So you could tell us a little more about yourself, you know, when we introduce you as a transformative guide and everything else. So yeah, share more about your magic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been on the spiritual healing path for almost 2 decades now, and I've been blessed to learn from many masters and teachers, and you know, have been on my own journey around curiosity of like what's out there. And it started with, like, even in college, like studying anthropology, I was always fascinated with people. And then after that, I was studying transformational psychology and how we can transform and our lifestyles, our beliefs, and we can heal right through our minds and with intention. And then also becoming a Reiki master. So that was a huge part of my own healing journey, and along the way, building community. So, you know, I've come from a big family, but I moved to LA from New York and didn't know anyone. So I, you know, was like, okay, I'm going to build community. And it's been amazing now. I've been in LA for 25 years, and I've been on this journey of like building community, bringing people together. I co-created or co-founded a community house in Santa Monica called the Giving Garden. And I lived there for 7 years and brought in a lot of, I would meet people along the way and teachers and guides, and would bring them to host, you know, various offerings for the community there. Had my own offerings, started leading fire circles back in 2012. So new moon, full moon. With the full moon, it's women only, and the new moon is men and women. And then back in 2014, I went to the first moon dance and went 7 years in a row, just completed my 7th year, October 2020. And yeah, all of that, and plant medicine journeys, and this, you know, supporting plant medicine journeys with other guides, did that for many years, and still on and off do that. So yeah, it's been a very full and rich journey so far.
Wow, I want to dive deep into each and every one of them. So tell us, what even brought you to Los Angeles, coming from New York, or like what drew you? What was that guy that brought you out here out west, or like towards this journey?
So that's a good question, because LA was never in my radar. I never even considered LA a place that I was curious about, other than, oh, okay, that's where Hollywood is, and, you know, growing up in New York, I was never intrigued to come here. But I actually had a cousin who was coming out here, and I was leaving, running away from an arranged marriage. And so literally it was like me running away, and my cousin was coming out here. She's the only person I knew out here, you know, and she's like, hey, don't leave, don't go somewhere by yourself, because I was planning on going to Australia or something. Amazing, crazy. And so she was like, don't go alone, you know, and I was 19 at the time, and so it was like, you know, let's stay together, and that's basically what brought me out to LA.
and
I stayed.
Definitely. What sparked finding community within like LA? I know obviously you didn't know many people, but like, I mean, yeah, to have that desire to want to make something bigger than just yourself, and in Los Angeles, how did, like, what sparked that, or what inspired that?
Oh, it was definitely loneliness, for sure. You know, after having grown up in a big family, I'm one of 6 kids, I'm the youngest, and I have, like, hundreds of cousins, and literally I grew up with a lot of cousins, so my house actually was a hub in New York and in Brooklyn, where all my cousins were coming through. And so there was always people in my home. My parents were hosting people that were coming from, my family's from the former Yugoslavia, from we're Albanians from Montenegro. So, and I'm first generation. So whenever people would come, my parents would host, you know, be like, hey, you need a sofa to sleep on. You need a, even beds. Like we'd get, my brothers and I would get booted out of our beds just to like host, you know, relatives that were coming through to support them. So that was like how I grew up. And then I moved to LA and all of a sudden I was on my own and didn't know anyone. And for me, just like living meant like being around people and being with people and having community and supporting one another. And like, that was a huge lesson I learned from my upbringing was like, you know, when you're needing support, like that's what community is all about.
That's beautiful. I can relate to you with that. I'm one out of six as well. And there's always people there. There's always noise. And like, yeah, just being on your own just really shows you and reflects. Like, that's actually really important. And it's cool that you can create your own. Like, even obviously not being close to your family, you're across the whole country. So what? How did you get into Reiki? When did that come to mind?
Yeah, I feel like as you're asking me these questions, I'm like, oh, these are all things when I was like going through hardship. Because Reiki was how Reiki came into my life. I'd experienced some Reiki before this. So back in summer of 2010, I had a really bad car accident.
Oh, wow.
So I was driving this van and it flipped over twice. And so, yeah, I had actually, my arm flew out the window, broke my arm in several places, really messed up my back. And it took, actually, I had two surgeries, was in and out of a cast for like a year and a half, was told I'd never use this arm again, and my left arm. And so it really like put me, and the doctors, of course, all they wanted to do was medicate me, give me more pain pills and more surgeries. And I quickly got off the pain meds because I was just like numb in the pain meds. And it was like so uncomfortably numb where it didn't feel good. So I got off the pain meds and was still in pain. I actually had a lot of body pain and was trying to find ways to mitigate the pain in my body. And I was trying all the different modalities out there. And I had a friend who referred this man named Chris Eagle to me, and I went to go have a session with him. And I also did a session 2 days prior, a cranial sacral session with a friend, Sarah Mangano. And that week was the first week I felt tingling in my arm after not having felt my arm for 6 months. And it was so profound. So I was like, because I had lost hope. I literally was like, oh, okay, I'm handicapped. I've lost the use of my left arm. And when that happened, it just really supercharged me. And so I went to get attuned to do self-healing on myself. I never had any intention to help anyone else. I mean, truly, it was about I was in pain and I needed support. And this is what I felt aligned in that moment. And then as I was going through the Reiki levels, my teacher, you know, he kept pushing me. He's like, you know, you should work on people. He's like, you're a natural healer. And I was like, me? No, what are you talking about? Like, I was doing environmental education before that. So I was connected to the earth, but never to healing arts, you know? And so I, part of the curriculum was we had to work on people, you know, and report back. And the people I was, the friends I was working on, they were like, wow, I just had profound shifts, profound healing. And so I just kept doing it. And the whole time, and this was throughout 2012, I think, was the first attunement I got. So since then, I mean, literally my private practice has built on its own. It's been a word of mouth thing. I haven't done much promotion. I've really been in the space of like, if this is what I'm meant to do, it will be exactly as it should. And it's been a beautiful process, actually.
What was the process of you healing your own arm? I mean, how do you feel about that? Like, I mean, obviously it's amazing, but like, yeah, like what was your mindset? Like what really got you to... It's really fascinating.
It was really fascinating. And actually that time in my life was really fascinating because, you know, here you have doctors who tell you certain things. And I remember even the day the doctor said to me, oh, you probably will never have full use of your arm again. And my first thought was like, I don't believe that. Like, I just didn't believe it, you know? And so I went home, and even though, I like I said, I couldn't feel my arm, I couldn't use my arm, there was still something inside of me that felt like it wasn't true. And so a huge part of my practice, aside from Reiki, was yoga. So I would get on the yoga mat every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, because I'd have to move my body. My back was a mess. And mm-hmm. yoga, like, really helped, you know, mm-hmm. with regenerating my back. And Pilates as I was doing core work. And but all the while being really gentle. But my hand, it was like this. So it was turned in and, like, you know, couldn't really use my mm-hmm. hand. But I would visualize. So every day I would try to do prayer pose.
Mm.
And so at the beginning, I started where, like, I could not bend my wrist.
Oh, wow.
And but I would still get on the mat every single day and do my kind of, like...
mm-hmm. Yeah, your own version.
My own version yeah. of prayer pose. But every day I would pray.
Wow.
Until I got to the point... I mean, it took at least a solid year and a half. Until I got to the point where I could do prayer pose in front of my heart with my wrist fully bent.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. The power of mind, the power of healing your hands.
And commitment. And like, I was committed to what I believed.
Yes.
Right? Yep. I could have believed what he told me,
mm-hmm.
but I was really committed to trusting my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because intuitively, that was the first message I got. And that's what intuition is, right? Mm-hmm. It's the first message that we get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the first message. And it was like, okay, I know doctors are telling me something different, but in my being, in my body, I felt it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful testimony. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's just, that's magical. What is the most transformative thing that you've seen with Reiki in your life? Was this experience?
Personally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Hands down, like feeling that tingling in my arm,
mm-hmm.
you know, and after having done the Western medicine route, you know, with the surgeries and the medication, which I knew wasn't healing me,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was further disconnecting me from my body and from everything, not just my body, but like people in my life. I remember people coming and visit me and it just was like, I was not even connected to them, you know, because of the pain meds.
Yeah.
So to then get off the pain meds and be in pain, but realize like, okay, there's ways to mitigate it, you know, going the natural route. I was taking various herbs and I'm really graced that I have a lot of healers in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I have herbalist friends and various healers, you know, that really at that time were really coming up to support me and tell me the things that I could do to change my life. Because obviously I had to change my life.
Yeah.
You know, I was going hyperspeed. I was doing environmental education at the time and I was driving all across LA. I was working with the lowest income students in LA.
Mm.
So I was doing curriculum at schools and also in nature trails.
Mm.
And it was amazing. Yeah. And I had so taxed myself.
Yeah, burned out.
Totally burned out. Yeah. And that's a huge thing. And it was a nonprofit I worked for. And the nonprofit industry is huge burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what happened to me. I feel like that car accident was like, made everything stop.
Yes.
And I had to really just like check into my body and listen and tap into my intuition.
Absolutely. It's amazing how many of those opportunities come to our lives, and like, and it's really a matter of choice and which way we're going to let that go. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you could have gone down like just the med route and just numbed yourself, and you just, you felt within you, you trusted yourself and you knew there's other ways. I'm so glad you connected to Reiki and you became a Reiki master and you're able to share that with the world too.
Thank you. That's amazing.
I know you mentioned plant medicine. How has plant medicine transformed your life? And I know that it is a transformative tool, but yeah, I just want to know more on your own personal level and what you suggest on others who are doing plant medicine, and like what do you advise them? A lot of the youth that are doing shrooms or whatever else plant medicine that are doing. Yeah. Like, what would you suggest as a wiser soul?
Thank you. Yeah. I started my plant medicine journey back in 2011, and it was also one of the things I was going to help mitigate my pain. And my first journey was ayahuasca. And it was so deep and so profound and life-altering in every way possible to actually get out of the matrix and go to this other realm that's very present, right? It's like going between the veil of between this matrix and, you know, this other consciousness that we all possess, right? Was just so empowering too, you know, and it really did help me open up the portal to great mystery, the unknown, which is very feminine, by the way. And ayahuasca is a very feminine, she's known as grandmother, right? So I felt for me too at that time, it did open me up into this my feminine self, which mm-hmm. I was before that. You know, here I was, like, go-getter, doing so much. I was more my masculine, the doing, and accomplishing. And so when the car accident happened, it put me totally in my feminine. It put me totally into the receiving. And then doing these plant medicines also further opened me up into my feminine.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely... When I pursue something, I go all in, and I really went all in with plant medicine. I proceeded to, like, I mean, since it's been many years now, we're now mm-hmm. in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the last over
decade,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Decade. It's been 13 times sitting with Aya and many times with Wachuma. I was actually assisting Wachuma ceremonies.
Mm.
And really holding space for other people to dive deeper into the medicine and lots of mushroom, you know, psilocybin experiences.
Yes.
And some 5-MAO experiences.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's isn't the most like it's.
Well, I would say Iboga, which Iboga. I did 2 years ago. I did an Iboga journey, which was like, that's known as like the granddaddy of all plant medicines. Mm. And it's interesting. People do call it masculine, but the woman who I sat with said she feels it's very much a feminine essence, and I felt actually neither. I didn't feel feminine or masculine when I journeyed with it.
Wow.
So yeah, having done all that and mm-hmm. and the thing that I would recommend the most,
mm-hmm.
you know, really I there were times where I was very much like, okay, I'm gonna do more medicine,
mm-hmm.
and what we're missing really in the plant medicine world is integration, you know, and the times in between when we sit with medicine.
Mm.
And I know people, and I wasn't doing this. I know people who were sitting like every weekend, you know, with ayahuasca, which to me is like,
yeah.
I can't even fathom,
yeah.
but there's no space for integration. Yeah. And that is almost like an addictive kind of quality. And not that these medicines are addictive in any means, they're not necessarily, it's our minds that are addicted to wanting a certain outcome, you know, and these medicines show us. And I remember at the time I felt like I really just like my whole life, just kind of like similar to the car accident where my van rolled over a couple of times. I felt like my life, it happened to my life because of plant medicine, because I wasn't taught about integration. And so integration is such an important piece. If we're going to dive that deep, you know, and, historically, these indigenous cultures that use this medicine, their life was an integration. Like the way they were in harmony with the earth and with each other, it was easy for them. Because we live in Western civilized lifestyles, we go from a ceremony that where we've touched the divine, and then we go back to our one-bedroom apartment to be alone, you know, to feel disconnected, to feel isolated, to not have actually the ability to integrate.
Mm.
And a lot of that integration has to do with the earth, has to do with community and others checking in and fostering that medicine working.
Yeah, this new version of yourself, like the skin that you've shed, you're like a fresh baby that needs to be. Yeah, I believe that's so important as well, integration. How can we integrate more? Like you said, by being around community and being with the earth. And you said if it's difficult for them to get there, what would you recommend? Like someone,
working with someone, working with maybe, you know, if I actually do integration circles. Mm. And I mean, now we're in a time of COVID, so we don't do as many circles, but I do one-on-one sessions with people to support them in terms of what's coming up. So if either working with myself or someone else, because there are people out there that are doing this, maybe you're sitting with a group of friends, and that you can create your own integration circle, you know, where you can just like, hey, let's check in with one another, let's like the next month make a commitment, you know, maybe meet in nature somewhere, sit in circle, check in what's come up, you know, because oftentimes things come up and we feel very isolated and disconnected, and we dismiss it, right? Because like, we're like, oh, you know, that's whatever. We make excuses about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we dismiss it. However, it's oftentimes profound medicine, you know, that a profound download that we need to integrate into our being. And when we have someone else who maybe set that same circle with that same medicine, it's profound because the other person can actually like mirror back at you like, mm-hmm. no, I actually had a similar thing or exactly the same as yours, mm-hmm. or, you know, that's where like the deep integration can happen.
Thank you. That's very important. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I know that you are a community catalyst. I love that term. And I want you to share a little bit about your cross-pollinate community and how that, I know you've been sharing how important it is to you. Just so you can share more about it.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I started cross-pollinate back in 2013 with my friend Camille Cimino and our friend Katrina as well. And we basically had this intention. Actually, Camille had come to me and said, hey, I want to do an event with you. I want to co-create something. And she asked me what I'd be interested in. I was like, well, I know so many amazing women in LA and that personally were friends of mine. And I feel like I want us to gather and share what we're doing and help each other and mm-hmm. collaborate and, you know, just connect, really. And so that's how it started. And back in 2013, we had an event. We had it at Club Fado Do. Our mm-hmm. friend Steven, who owns it, offered up the space to us. He's like, I want goddesses to come through my space and bless it. And it was really incredible. But we had like close to 100 women turn up that mm-hmm. first gathering. And it was so profound and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we had different community leaders, you know, share. And these were all, it was all women. Mm. And it was profound and beautiful. And so we did that for several years. And then like, actually, we were going to do another one at the beginning of January 2020, and then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And so I had this idea years ago about doing an online, because I thought, well, we meet in person, but then like we disperse, and it'd be great if we could still stay connected. Mm-hmm. But it was more than just a Facebook group idea. Like I wanted it to be like a container, like where it's its own container. You can't go and then start stalking someone's pictures mm-hmm. or, you know, all the ads on Facebook and all the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then I got turned on to this thing called Mighty Networks. And it's a paid, like I actually pay for the subscription. But I've created an online container so that it's basically, that's our intention. It's women coming together to support, to share. Mm-hmm. I've been offering monthly themes. Mm. So this theme for January 2021 is the shadow. Mm-hmm. Because after we came out of 2020, it was all about like, wow, there's so much shadow work. And as I was tuning into how to start the year, and everyone's like, oh, do this diet, do this cleanse, do this 21 day, blah, blah, blah. It was like, nah, man, we just came through a deep, deep year. This is not about just a 21 day cleanse. This is about like, we need to go deeper into our shadow so that we can actually like, you know, live the lives that we want. Because mm-hmm. that's the stuff that's holding us back, the mm-hmm. shadow and how it shows up, right? In energy in our body. And you know this through Reiki, yes. it shows up in stagnation mm-hmm. and blocks. Mm-hmm. So how can we truly like clear, mm-hmm. you know, yes, I love cleanses. I do cleanses all the time, like clearing mm-hmm. your bowels and clearing your, you know, this amazing, mm-hmm. but it is temporary. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the depth of where we are now is about diving even deeper. And it is about bringing our shadow, you know, to the conscious, because the shadow is in the unconscious, you know? Mm-hmm. And so once we bring it to the consciousness, it doesn't have as much power. Right. So when we're in this like pattern and the shadow shows up in like these patterns that, you know, we're constantly unhappy, but it's a pattern that keeps showing up in our life. Mm-hmm. That's our shadow. Mm. And, you know, oftentimes we'll blame situations or people or things outside of ourselves mm-hmm. for, you know, the shit that's going down in our life that we're not happy about. But mm-hmm. ultimately, it's our stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and if we can get really clear about what that is, we bring it forth to the shadow, to the consciousness, mm-hmm. then we relinquish that shadow's power, mm. you know. And it's not to say that we can live without shadow. I think there's always going to be that. And now knowing I expressed this to you before we started the podcast yeah. about like, wow, I've done so much shadow work and still there's so many more layers. Mm-hmm. But the gifts exist in our shadow. Like there are treasures in our shadow. Mm. So that's our theme this month. Yes. And it's really an ability for women to share what's coming up for them and have a supportive online environment. Mm-hmm. And really, I tell the women too, you know, I encourage them to really connect with one another in this online portal so that once we can gather, that they meet in person, mm-hmm. that they start to form community. Because that's the thing about being a community catalyst is really, it's not just about me driving the community. It's about really encouraging other people to build community in their life in whatever ways that looks like. And oftentimes mm-hmm. people have said to me, I don't know anyone. I'm like, okay, you don't know anyone? Join this circle, mm-hmm. whether it's in person, you know, when I'm hosting mm-hmm. or online, mm-hmm. and get to know people in the circle, you know, find your tribe, because we're here and there are people out there that are like desperately looking for you as well. Mm-hmm. You know, what's that Rumi quote? You know, what you're seeking is seeking you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's my driving catalyst around, you know, creating this online community is like, okay, we can't gather, so here's an online platform.
Yeah.
Let's meet up here. Let's share. Let's then, you know, meet in person.
Yeah, temporarily meet online. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's beautiful. And I'm excited to be a part of that in the future. Mm-hmm. I want to dive deep about when you mentioned about the shadows. So how do we find the treasures in the shadows? I know it's about our perception, but what's a tool that you want to share to my people that we can, yeah, all face our shadows? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, what's an easy, tangible thing that we can do?
Mm-hmm. So for me, a treasure is when, say, can we find a really good example? Say that you're really unhappy in romantic relationships, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you have this, each relationship after another, you know, you're looking, and oftentimes, and I'm going to speak from a woman's perspective, mm-hmm. right? So, and I've had this, so I can tap into this wanting, like, to find the one, mm-hmm. right? You know, this mythical story mm-hmm. that has been created by Disney.
Yes.
Mostly.
Really? Hollywood, yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And all the stories that pervade around, there is this one thing, which actually I can backtrack to, that one connection is actually to source. Mm. But somehow the story has been altered through time mm-hmm. and space and culture, mm-hmm. right? To be that for men and women, it's about your ideal partner, mm-hmm. right? Your one, your soulmate, your mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. There's people call it different things. Mm-hmm. So we're on this quest for mm-hmm. that. But yet we keep encountering, say, a particular pattern. And everyone has one that keeps showing up, right? If they're mm-hmm. on this journey. And I remember years ago, when before I became really conscious of this, I remember I'd meet a guy and we'd totally be into each other. I'm like, okay, I think he's the one, mm-hmm. you know, even before even getting to know him, yeah. right? And then something would happen and we'd break up, mm-hmm. you know, and I would get so disappointed and let down. And then I'd go to my girlfriends and say, oh, can you believe this? And they're like, you know, he's such a loser. How can he not see how amazing you are? Mm-hmm. You know, and they would affirm mm-hmm. my shadow, mm-hmm. by the way. You know, they weren't, even though they mean well, they weren't yeah. helping me. By giving him fault. Because mm-hmm. really what the treasure, when I finally got to that place of what was inhibiting me mm. from being in a relationship, it wasn't about me not meeting the one. It was about there were all these blocks that I had mm. around relationship. So when I got really present to, wait a second, it's not that I'm meeting losers, because I wasn't. They were all wonderful men, actually. Mm. You know? It was because I wasn't available. Mm. Ultimately, and it was manifesting in what I was attracting. Mm.
Yes,
that's mirrors. That's the treasure right there.
Yes,
in our shadow.
Absolutely,
it's like it's me. It's mm. not them. It's not outside conditions, you know. And this can go across the board: love, money, career, mm-hmm. you know, home, whatever. How we look, what we want, it across the board. It's it's relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. I would suggest, like, being kind with ourselves when we're facing our shadows. That's the biggest thing. I feel that's yes. why people can't enter that, because there's just so much darkness or guilt or shame and all these, like, lower vibrational energies that just, like, attack. And just knowing, like, wait, these shadows are coming up because there's a part of me that's not seen. There's a part of me that doesn't have light. And that's okay, because we won't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. They both have to exist. And that's true for all things in nature, right? And, like, remembering that we're a part of that process. We're a part of that flow, and there's no difference between that. And, like, getting out of our heads and into, like, our hearts and, like, our body. And, like I said, being more kind about what's coming up for us. And like I said, just letting yourself feel it. Because I feel like I definitely have the tendency just to, like, okay, I feel sad a few days. All right, I'm over it. Let's go. And I'm doing it. But I'm like, wait, it's still coming up in different ways. Or I'm still reacting or feeling these ways. It's because I'm not allowing myself just to sit with it and not run away from that shadow. And I think it began with me being kind with it and being like, oh yeah, it's that like sad little girl in me that didn't get that from her dad or this and that, you know? And that's my treasure, I guess, discovering that. Yeah.
Well, we've also been conditioned by Disney and Hollywood and you know, all mm-hmm. the mythological stories around mm-hmm. the good, eradicating the evil, mm-hmm. you know? But like you said, we need both. Mm-hmm. We need the light and the dark. And the biggest wisdom that I've gotten in the last several years has mm-hmm. been about loving my shadow. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, like eradicating the guilt and the shame, mm-hmm. Because there is no shame in it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all created meaning that mm-hmm. we've created.
Yeah.
You know, because it's there. It's present. It's what keeps us alive is, you know, the conscious and the unconscious are equally important. Mm-hmm. So it's about that acknowledgement of the two. And once we get to this place where it's like, I'm loving my shadow. Mm. And this book that we've been reading recently, I'm part of this book club called Existential Kink by mm-hmm. Carolyn Elliott, which is a phenomenal book. I highly recommend it. Mm. You know, she says about like how we get off on our shadow because we do. Mm-hmm. You know, the patterns that we keep doing, like we're actively participating in those patterns. We're actively like getting off on them. So once we get to that place of like not shaming ourselves or blaming ourselves for getting off on them, once we get into this place of like truly embracing them, they do have less power. Or maybe they have equal power to the light. Because, you know, for a long time in the New Age community, everyone's like, oh, be all about light and love. And mm-hmm. it's all love. Even the dark is love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that just the light is love.
Yeah.
The dark is love as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that we were awakening more to the gaslighting that occurs in that community of like love and light and ignoring everything that's happening. It's like, no, it's bringing more of that love and light into what's here because mm-hmm. it's here. And they're both here. Like, yeah, all of it. Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. So where can my people find you?
Thank you. Yes. So I have a website, which my name is a little hard to spell.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely put it in the notes, in the show notes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's GiselleGenesee.com. Mm-hmm. And also I would love to invite people to join the online cross-pollinate community. Mm. I'll also share a link with you. But it's crosspollinate.mn.co. But yeah, I'd love to have more women. So sorry, gentlemen, it's for women only right now.
Yes.
But I love, you know, collaborating with the sisters and being more my feminine. So yeah, I would love to invite anyone who would like to join that as well.
Beautiful. Thank you. Before we go, can we do a little meditation together so that we can, so whoever's listening can pause and get into the state of accepting their shadow and facing their shadow and bringing in everything coming in this new year. So whatever you feel guided to share. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sis.
She put me on the spot, but okay, I can do this.
Yeah, you can. Even just a few beautiful words to connect with their breath.
So taking the three deepest breaths you've taken today. Let's do it together. Inhale. This last breath, inhaling and filling your belly even deeper, and we exhale with the sound. Keeping your eyes closed. Noticing what three deep, simple breaths can bring to your body, to your connection, to your heart. Perhaps you're sitting down and you can feel the chair or the seat that you're sitting, imagining the earth beneath your feet. Feeling supported, feeling loved, feeling abundant as she graces us with beautiful fresh water, delicious food, soft earth to walk on. Feeling deep gratitude for this infinite moment of presence, of breath, of connection, of love. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. And thank you for whoever's listening for being here. Sending you all so much love, light, and shadow. Thank you.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah. If you like what you heard, please feel free to share this message. Send it to whoever you think would be inspired. My purpose for Intuitively Her podcast is to share diverse knowledge and how to apply it in our daily lives. Sending you so much love.